say hello to everyone.
Yes.
Andrew, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Amir, how are you?
Good. How are you? How's it going, Curtis?
Okay. Good. All right. I got an agenda, and for you all. But before we get into that, you may have an agenda of things that you'd like me to cover with you. So, let's first of all have just kind of a few moments of accountability, and tell me, you know, how you think things are going. So, let's start with Nicole. Nicole, how are things going?
What I know I was gonna be first. I think pretty well. We've been working on a few things, trying to build up our prospect pipeline again.
Okay.
We're also working on like launching our official team name. We're trying to get Joe on social media so he can announce on his channels.
Okay.
Is
that LinkedIn for social media?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, I mean, I think Denora and I have been fine on the service side. I know Mijanu made a comment to me that stuck with me that we haven't been opening as many new accounts lately. So we do want to get, we're building a pipeline, but of course we want to get back on that, okay. Getting new clients or, new accounts with new money from current clients. So I think that's a big goal for us.
Okay. Good. All right. How about, Denora?
Oh, okay. Well, as Nicole said, there's a lot of stuff that, that I think we've been, working on, and she's been mostly doing most of the legwork, as far as, the approvals and the brochures and launching the website and all that stuff. And, we're pretty good on service. We do need, of course, some new clients, which, I know, Mijanu and Joe are diligently, working on.
Okay.
I've opened up a lot of accounts, but it's not new clients. It's existing clients, mostly for Joe, because we're opening up a lot of accounts and then we're moving in assets and we're doing managed accounts with it. So, but all in all, I think we're making progress.
Okay. Starting to really, really function as a team. One thing you brought up, in terms of, social media, just a thought, social media is one of our, prospecting methodologies. And, we have somebody that we work with on, social media. And, here's what I'm thinking. His name is, Bruce Johnston. And, what I want to do after the call is, if you all agree that I would, send that to Nicole, his contact, and Nicole, you get into quizzing him on everything and his capabilities of helping, the team with its social media presence, which is designed to, create, prospects and leads. He's excellent at it. There's a little bit of money involved, but there's no charge for consultation, and you can let him know that, that I referred you to him. And, he's good with all things, regarding, LinkedIn. He's a pro at it and would basically kind of take over, and help you all with your social media presence. So, Bruce Johnston is the name. I'm going to make a note, to send you an email, Nicole, to get in touch with him. And since you are kind of responsible for brand, I think that would be kind of an additive role, mission very possible, if you choose to accept it. So have a conversation with him, And I think that could go a long way in helping the team if the team feels okay with that. Any objections to that, team? Joe? Mijanu? Nope. Okay. Nope. So after the call is over, I will send you his contact information. Now, the let's hear from Amir. So tell me what's going on, Amir.
So I've been running a lot of life views and investment proposals for existing relationships and getting that organized. I think we've also been having a lot of these specialist calls or calls with an alternative fund, and that seems to have panned out quite well, sparking interest with certain clients.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are you getting closure on the things that you are doing? You know, are you getting people to move forward with, you know, with the plans and plan implementation?
I think so.
Okay. Now, let's hear from Joe, and then we'll hear from Mijanu. Joe? Tell me what's going on.
Well, in the past couple of weeks, I've kind of opened up to leads and prospects, and we had a good call with a client's partner at a law firm that we're starting to handle their 401k, and we don't have any of his personal money, and we presented them a life view plan, and clearly his other relationship haven't given him anything like that. So I thought that was a very, very eye-opening experience that here's a guy that has never looked at his whole picture and had it down on paper like we presented him. So follow-up call to him is due, which I will take charge of. Also, was out in Los Angeles, and I have a CIO out there that I met with, that I stayed with, and we had a conversation with him and his chairman of his board of his school on a foundation, on a foundation proposal. So that's new potential. So that was a good call. And then we had a meeting. Mijanu and I had a meeting with a personal friend of mine, and we have a question concerning this. This is a personal friend of mine, great friend, 25 plus years, and he knows everybody. He would be a great CIO. So we sat in Mijanu's backyard and told him about the new partnership, the partnership that I have here, and opportunity to have met Mijanu. And so he called me. He called me a couple of days later with our first lead, who I actually spoke to about an hour ago. And this is a person I know for 20 years. And, but the issue is that he only has $250,000.
Okay. Now, but if it's a C, COI, that's okay. Okay. As long as he can, you know the drill in terms of the type of client that you are willing to work with, that's okay. Okay.
So this COI is a personal friend, and this COI referred a personal friend of his who's also someone I know 20 years. Okay. And so it's not the COI that has the $250,000. It's the third party, and it's clearly much below what we want to take.
Right.
And when Mijanu and I sat with the COI, we forgot to put out there, you know, $2.5 million as our limit. But I will make sure that he is aware of that. The question is, the first person that he called me on said, "Here, call him. He's got money. He wants to move."
Okay.
Is a person I know.
Okay.
And is a personal friend of the COI, but he's only got $250,000.
Yeah. So, you know, that falls into the category of your, of a butler. You know, they get the 4-1 service. And so make sure in your conversations, number one, that, that these are personal introductions, but you happen to know them. So, you know, you just took it upon yourself to give them a call. That's fine. But, with COIs, make sure that they are personally introducing you to the party that you're going to be talking with. And that's where you, where that BPSA model starts to take place. It's going to take a while for this to get really, really comfortable, but you're on the right track. Okay. So very good. Mijanu.
Hello. So I think that's a big subject what Joe brings up, because I would like to talk a little bit more about, he was referred the first person, he happens to know the person and they know each other. And so now here we've got kind of a triangle, but obviously the discussion between the referred person and us is private.
Right.
And so we don't want to make mention to the person who referred it that this is somebody that wouldn't fit our minimum, because you don't want to,
you have to do that up front. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I understand we need to, I'm looking at the notes from last time we talked about training our COIs a little better. But then, I mean, it should be that we are letting people know that, I mean, in this case, it might be too expensive, for instance, for this person to hire us with that much money, right, Joe?
Right.
So maybe it would be doing him somewhat of a disservice to bring that $250,000 in. How do we handle that? That's a subject that's definitely on my mind as well. So
yeah. So look, you know, the way to handle it is this. The clients that we work with have a minimum of $2.5 million. Do you see that as presenting a problem for you? Okay. And they may respond, well, you know, I got 250 now, but I've got, you know, other assets elsewhere. Or, you know, I don't meet the minimum, but I need some help. Then you say, well, then your next response is, you know, we have, a limited capacity to take on a smaller relationship. That have the potential to grow. Now, if you don't have the capacity, then you have to say, well, look, you know, on a pro bono basis, let us at least help you with your financial plan. And then we have, in our network, an advisor that we can refer you to. And then, you know, have that advisor in your back pocket that you're willing to make the personal introduction, and then put it on a split if you think it's appropriate. Okay.
I'm going to tell you that is like impossible to find in our complex.
Oh, really? You don't feel comfortable with?
You know, we talk about Amir being a financial advisor associate, but we don't want to bog him down with accounts that aren't going to pay.
Yeah.
And so I know it's probably I remember sitting in the seat that he's in, and I know it's probably just like, you know, want every asset you can get. But in the long run, we're trying to do something better than that.
Exactly.
So that's a really difficult thing to do in our, I mean, I guess there's like, there's a specific question to this situation, but I think it can become a broader thing. When I when I've had this situation in the past, and Amir, you actually, the couple that were attorneys and they never got back to you, she came to me and she didn't meet my minimum. And I said, look, let's just do a financial plan. This was years and years ago. Let's do a financial plan. It's too expensive for you to work with me. You know, you can go to a Schwab or a Vanguard and implement the plan.
Right.
I'm not going to charge you for it. So what you said, but then she came to me kind of off the street. This is a situation where somebody who is a really good source of referral business has referred the person and they're close.
Okay.
So do we just try to do what we do for that person on a butler level? But then it ends up being somewhat expensive for them.
Then you, yeah, like then you run, take, and you run out of capacity. Yeah, and you run out of capacity.
But we don't want to say to him, we don't want to say to him, you don't meet our minimum, you know? I mean, it's just, we obviously have to deal with the COI and educate the COI on why we have a minimum and so forth. And, exactly. and that in a very respectful way. Totally different. But now this is the first referral. As Joe says, you know, he doesn't meet our minimum. It would be very expensive for this person to work with us if we worked in a way that was a fee-based what we do, right?
Right.
But now how do we handle it so that we're, cause it's going to get back to the COI. And if we don't work with the person and give him something, then the COI is not going to go on to the next one because, you know, maybe he doesn't want to talk about how much money do you have. We're happy to vet that. But, you know, and then, and then if we don't deal with it or he doesn't realize that this person didn't meet our minimum, then he sends us five more people and then we're sitting there going, oh my gosh. So I think we need help here.
Give the COI the language to use in making the personal introduction. I have a great team that I would like to recommend to you, Mr. Prospect. This team.
I can't hear you.
I've got the COI. I will educate the COI 2.5 million. That's not a problem. The COI in the future is not going to be a problem because he will be well aware. And we made a mistake in not telling him at the meeting. Okay. In terms of this prospect, the way that I think I should deal with it. And the way that I told him is that we start all of our processes by a financial plan. We want to provide a financial plan for you. And then I'm going to tell him exactly how he's going, how he should be investing this money. And if he decides to do it, I'll cross that bridge. But I want to, I want to make him make the effort and do our financial plan, our life view plan. And it's possible he's not going to do it. And then the matter is dead and I did my part.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because what he needs is about 50. Yes.
Yeah. And so what he needs
is 50K in a 5.9 plan and 200K in a PM. And if he's not going to do the life view plan, then it's out of my hands. So
yeah, I'm sorry. You know,
this is our process.
We have a capacity issue, and in terms of what we can deal with as a team, and so you just have to explain that. But if you do it up front, then you don't have to go through the whole deal. You know, to begin with. Okay.
So we have the capability. We're able to charge for financial plans. I know there are some teams, bigger teams now that are, because they feel that because we're giving them all away, that there's no value to it. I'm not one to say we should, but I'm just curious as to what your thoughts are.
Well, look, you can't bill yourself out at $50 an hour. that's the whole premise. Now you add a lot of value to, you know, your relationships. You provide the concierge, you know, capability. But then if you start, you know, accepting 250, then you're not there anymore. You're muddying the waters of your brand. Okay. And we don't want to go there. So you have to make a very tough decision. Okay. And the decision is, are we going to at least offer this person a plan? Or are we going to be upfront and say, that look, we have a capacity issue and, you know, we're not able to, you know, to help you. Okay. So you have to, you know, come up with the language, you know, associated with that.
Yeah.
Because what you'll do is it'll take up some of Nicole's time, some of Amir's time and some of Dinara's time. And you just don't have that luxury. Okay. Now what I just put you all through is almost what's called a game board exercise. Once a week,
you need to,
huh?
But I didn't participate.
Okay. But you get the point, is that you, everybody, and if you're the leader of the team, you are accountable for certain things, and everybody on the team makes their report in terms of where they are, and you uncover whatever gaps that you need to address in that game board meeting. Okay. So just like we had this little game board discussion, you know, you want to be able to drill down, in terms of the functionality of each team member.
And how often? What they've done.
A game board session should occur once per week. Your 10-minute team huddles occur every day. So what you've done here as a team, since I've been working with you, you've gone from storming in terms of coming together as a team, normalizing the team, and now we're moving into performing as a team. Okay? So that's where we're at right now. Now I'm going to put up a couple of things here to share with you via the screen. Okay? Hold on 1 second. Let me go to screen share.
Denora, we see you.
I know. I took it off. I'm showing you. I don't know. Maybe I'll turn it off.
No.
I love it.
All right. Okay. I'm trying to be part of the team.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'm going to show you is a business plan template. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through this very, very quickly. Your team now is ready to start thinking about what is our team plan and strategy going forward, so that once a month, if not once a quarter, you go back and make reference to your team's plan. Okay, is our vision still the vision? Is our purpose still the purpose? Is our value prop still the value prop? You know, what's the 30-second elevator pitch for our team? How do we describe ourselves in 30 seconds? The 5-star model. You've come a long way in terms of delegation of duties and responsibilities and who does what and your ability to articulate that. Then there's the action plan, your team goal setting, additional team-based goals, your 12 to 24 month product or service agenda designed to educate your clients, investing in your practice. And then I have a checklist. So let's go through this real quick. So I put in a samples here, but it's up to the team to talk about your message that ignites what your team is working toward. It's the dream. It's the end game. It evokes a sense of achievement and fulfillment. You know, for example, you know, we desire to be the preeminent financial advisor team in our market that provides a holistic approach to our clients, and we offer more than a commodity client experience, okay? So when you set forth that vision, it's the end game. It's maybe you're not there yet, but that's where you're, what you're driving to. Okay, purpose statement. Well, let me stop. I know I have a tendency to go fast. Any questions on the vision?
Nope, good.
Team purpose statement. This gets everyone on the same page and provides direction and clarity. It should describe the why and what you do as a team. So Nike says, we want to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world. Starbucks says, we want to inspire and nurture the human spirit. One person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. So what's this aspirational unifying team purpose statement? And it's something that you could articulate to a client. You know, we want you to be happy. Okay, so, you know, I wrote up mine, and mine was, I want to inspire others so that they can find the motivation and inspiration to do good. Okay, so come up with an aspirational message. Your value prop. What are you? We're a financial resource to give you confidence to make informed financial decisions. You know, and you want to make sure that your value prop emotionally connects with your clients. You want them saying, high-fiving, saying, yeah, that's what I want. I want to feel more confident in the decisions that I make. The elevator pitch is, the time it takes you to go from the first floor to the 10th floor on an elevator. So when you're at the museum gala, you're at the cocktail party, and they say, well, you know, what do you all do? What do you do? Oh, I'm a financial advisor for Morgan Stanley. No, you know, my team's practice is dedicated to be the trusted wealth management resource for affluent and ultra high net worth clients to build, manage, and preserve wealth. Our clients have found that our conservative strategies make them money, reduce risk, and help them feel secure. Well, can you tell me more? Well, you know, since we're at the cocktail party, I'd like to maybe, you know, arrange a personal meeting and share more about what we do. So you write your elevator pitch. So this is just every time you come in contact, you know, with someone, you describe what you do as a team. So every team member ought to be able to have their elevator pitch down. Okay. Your 6-point questions at this point before I move on. Okay. 5-star model analysis. Okay. Let's evaluate the team based on the 5-star model. You know, you're constantly looking at gaps and areas for improvement. Planning. Ensure that every client has a financial plan. You know, they're like a forensic scientist. You understand what the client really wants, not just what he or she says that they want. Sometimes you have to plant the seed. You know, if they don't say, you know, things like, okay, I know I need this, I know I need that. You got to ask the questions like, well, really, what's really important to you? God, you know, my family, making sure that my family's taken care of in the event that something should happen to me. Or, you know, I need to get ample return so that I can send my daughter to college, private. Or it's the vacation home. Whatever it is, drill down. Plan, implement. So what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are the areas for improvement? Plan implementation. Are all parts of the plan implemented consistently for every client? Or do you just get the portfolio management stuff done and then you don't talk about the mortgages, the insurance, the tax planning, long-term care, and the other issues brought out in the plan? Okay. So, you know, after you do a planning, Amir, you should have a checklist of all the issues that come out in that plan. And the advisor or relationship manager should have that checklist, which sets forth an agenda of topics that are going to be discussed with that client over time. Because, you know, clients can only absorb so much information. So, you know, in one call, you can't address, hey, mortgages, insurance, tax. It's too much. They get overwhelmed. So these are things and topics that sometimes don't have the urgency, but can get done over a period of time. Marketing, responsible for overseeing the acquisition strategy of the team. So the accountability partner here is obviously the team leader. You know, are we working the 96-4-2-2-1 and VIPSA? You know, check, inspect what you expect in that regard. Brand and service. Nicole, you know, responsible for brand consistency through monitoring segmentation. Denora, rapid response to client issues, overseeing the scheduling of 12-4-2, client appointments, and any compliance issues. Okay, so when you have your half hour meeting and your game board, and everybody's reporting on their area of accountability, then, you know, you're doing that. You're gonna look at your strengths, look at your weaknesses, and the areas for improvement for the team. Okay? All right. And then finally, leadership. Responsible for developing and maintaining a productive environment. Team confidence, team skills, team knowledge, and team accountability. Is this team confident? Can they deliver 12-4-2? Can they articulate their role and responsibility to your constituency? How are we? Are we strong? What areas do we need to improve? Okay. Questions so far before I go to 7.0.
Yeah.
Okay. Fire away.
It's a lot. So, okay. It's a lot. It's a lot of really good stuff, but you know, we're never going to do something. Do we break this up and do one subject at a time per weekly meeting? What are we doing here?
Because build this over a 3-month time frame. Okay, break it apart and build it from the ground up. Don't do it, you know, overnight. Okay, so decide on, and you know, the person who's kind of an accountability partner, Nicole would be good at this, is to just make sure that the team starts to get this done. You know, and work on it over time, over 3-month time frame. It's kind of like the team's capstone project. Now, I'm giving you this, and by the time you get this done and you start to execute, we're all gonna feel like this team is really running on all cylinders. You're getting there. You definitely are getting there. All right. 7.0, action plan. Okay. Now, it's not enough just to talk about these things, but we got to think about, okay, how do we execute? So, for example, let's say planning is an initiative. Okay. So maybe under that, there are two tasks. One member obtains a CFP. What's the timing? Who's responsible? improve plan implementation. Got to get better at that. That's ongoing. Who's responsible? Okay. So that's an example of how to lay out an initiative. They can be whatever you think is important. They don't have to be the ones I have down here. They can be, you know, whatever you feel your team needs to have as key initiatives. Plan implementation. Because see, look, over time, this may be a team that is going to manage $500 million in assets. You are a small family office business. If we continue to grow like I think you will grow. Plan implementation. You know, maybe one of the initiatives is, okay, we've got to hire an additional advisor. Who's going to be responsible for sourcing candidates? Is there going to be an inner office search? How about the onboarding process to make sure that they assimilate fully onto the team? Just an example. You know, this isn't necessarily an initiative that you use. And then I have just a blank template. So come up with 4 or 5 initiatives that this team is going to document that they're going to work on in the course of a year. Okay, questions on action plan. Okay. Goal setting. Okay. Team is going to start trying to document their goals. We use the SMART formula. Every goal's got to be specific. It's got to be measurable. It's got to be achievable. It's got to be relevant, and it's got to be time sensitive. So what metric are you going to measure for revenue growth, for asset growth, for recurring fee revenues, for household growth, for asset velocity or return on assets? Okay. Is there going to be a .07, .08, .09, .05? Okay, what's it going to be? Who's going to be responsible for accountability for these metrics? Okay. Questions on that part? Okay. Then there's the acquisition goals for prospects, for COIs, mastermind groups, niche markets. Remember, we're now thinking about the performance kind of things that we're doing as part of our plan. Okay. And any other team-based goals that you might have. Our team is going to take a retreat and go on a team-building exercise. That's going to be a goal. Who's going to be responsible for making that happen, and what is the timing? Our goal is to have some fun as a team. Client appreciation, you know, who's going to be responsible for that? So write down any additional team-based goals that you might have. All right. Your 12 to 24 month product and service agenda. This is batch processing. This is where you have sample agendas that you are going to discuss with clients on a monthly basis. So April, it might be IRA contributions, raw tax questions, so on and so forth. May might be long-term care. June, mid-year outlook. Okay, follow up on long-term care and life insurance. So on and so forth. So each topic, remember, is an educational topic designed to let your clients know that you do more than just portfolio management. Okay? All right. That's that one. And I have a blank template there. And look at your team budget. What are you going to allocate for team training? Staff retention. if additional support needs to be hired. You know, if it's not the case, then you don't have to fill that one out. Continuing to build your brand. Okay. It's like that LinkedIn project that we talked about with Nicole. Other market development kinds of things. Are we delivering on the client experience? Okay. All right. And then I have a little checklist on team effectiveness to say, hey, are we doing all these, you know, 14 things as a team? Okay. And if you need me to take you through a forecast on the numbers, I'll be happy to do that on another session. Okay, let me stop there. Any questions on, now this is just a template. Your business plan might be different. Use creative license. You may or may not include everything, but this is a template that I created for teams. Okay.
Is that in the guidebook, Curtis?
Nope. Not in the guidebook. I will send it to you.
Okay.
I will send the template to you. Okay. Now, I want to share one other thing with you. How are we doing on time?
1:44.
Okay. So here goes the other thing I want to share with you. Let's see here.
I lost it.
Yeah, that wasn't the, oh, here it is. Okay, now let me get back into share. Okay, so very quickly, this was just a few slides on a presentation I built quite some time ago, which says, look, the pace of change is a little bit exhaustive, and financial advisors are getting what I call disruption fatigue. And a lot of the technology disruption is occurring outside the ecosystem of the big financial services firms. And so here are some of the issues you're facing. Price compression, regulatory environment, technology disruptors, competitive environment, demanding consumer expectations. This is why you've got to have a tight team and deliver on a concierge practice because of all these factors that you're facing. Now, your role continues to evolve. And that's why you brought me in as a coach. This transactional model, okay, old school, proprietary offerings become a little bit old school. This discretionary advisory based model, you know, is, you know, everybody's got it. It's a commodity kind of experience. So how do you differentiate yourself, you know, by delivering this holistic and integrated wealth management approach? That's where your team is headed. Understanding client needs, you're engaging the full household, translates into needs, into advice and guidance. You deliver more than a commodity experience. You have a holistic approach to planning. You're collaborating with experts. So now we move from this and we go into this collaborative team model. This is your FA team in the center. You interface with your client's team of professionals. Sometimes if the expertise doesn't reside on the team, you've got to work with an FA specialty team that might have expertise that you don't have. This is virtual teaming sometimes. You might be interfacing with Greystone. but specialized capabilities in the areas of pension, nonprofit, business financial service, or niche markets. Or you might work with in-house specialists in mortgages, lending, insurance, and estate planning. Or you might work with firm resource teams in terms of marketing, compliance, media relations. Or you might be leveraging your complex director who's supposed to support the team on significant appointments. You know, as a regional director responsible for 62 offices and 3,000 employees, if somebody had 10 million and above, I would go on an appointment with them at their request. Okay. Because I could navigate the firm and I could apply the firm's resources to that relationship. And what that did was give the FA what we call this force multiplier, where a very small agile team has got the power of 50 people. Okay. So that's what we mean by a collaborative team model, which we are building toward, and this force multiplier effect. So what I've done is I've fast forward to where you're headed as a team. That's you in the future. That's where we're moving toward. Now let me stop right there. I've said a lot. Questions, comments?
Did say a lot.
If I didn't shell shock everybody, oh my God, am I going to be there? Yes, no, you're going to be there.
I think that going through this process and exercise will also strengthen our ability to tell our story. You know, because we keep going over this stuff and solidifying what it is we're all here for.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And guess what? It's going to be a key differentiator in the market you serve. Okay. It's going to level you up to a level. And that's why you're establishing these minimums, because you're going to have these kind of capabilities. Okay. Let's see here. I think that might be. All right, I'm going to show you one more thing. Okay, this is a little thing about this family office style. Okay, when you think about your future, I know you're living in the here and now right now, but if you imagine that this was your team in the center, you know, you're helping. Remember I had that one arrow that pointed to working with the client's experts or team of advisors? You're this, and you're doing wealth management, wealth planning. You might be involved or engaged in charity and philanthropy, family governance, trust and corporate services, and tax planning. Okay. And each of these have sub areas that you work on: estate planning, life insurance, succession planning. Okay. So that's what the complexity starts to look like. Now, you may not get here for 36 months, but you'll partially get there. Okay. And if we're at 2.5 million today, and 3 years from now, we're at 3 or 4 million, you're going to have to be in this kind of area. So I just thought I would just share that with you. Now, so what we talked about? We talked about the business plan. We talked about team collaboration, communication of goals and expectations. They're written. We talked about family office kinds of issues. We talked about game board, where the team huddles up once a week. You're going to measure, are our executive summaries going out? Are our plans getting done? Are we creating a pipeline of new prospects? How's our relationship and development of centers of influence? How are we doing on plan implementation? What's our agenda for the month? Okay. Now, you know, I did it this time, but Mijanu, you might be the one doing it on the weekly meeting. How are we doing with our executive summaries? Are we getting them out on time? You know, so you're asking the questions. You're looking at your game board sheet, which is identified in your guide. And you're measuring those things. And Amir comes in and he gives his report. And I don't want to, you know, as a leader, I don't want to hear, well, we're working on plans. No, we did 4 plans this week. I'm very proud of that. And then, you know, the relationship managers are saying, not only did we do the plans, but we uncovered new assets and we executed via plan implementation. Okay. Executive summaries. Our clients have agendas. They go out 4 days prior to our meetings and we discuss the next steps, for the next meeting. So we're on a roll now. Okay. We had, you know, we originally said, we were going to get 5 executive summaries out. We got 5 out. We did it. New prospects, based on personal introductions. This week we had 5 personal introductions come in. Okay. And we are staying true to our agenda. We're giving our clients, in lieu of, you know, tax season, we're discussing tax minimization strategies going forward. Okay. Okay. Now let me stop. Let me get some feedback. What did you think you heard, Amir?
Heard a lot.
You just got to process it, right? I understand.
Yeah, I have to process it. I've processed it. I mean, there's a lot to learn from that business plan, I think, that we need to work on. And I think that the weekly game board that we do in the future will be pretty helpful.
Okay. What do you think you heard, Nicole?
I think I heard that we really need to hold ourselves accountable. And measure.
Okay.
But we heard a lot, but that's what's on my mind right now.
Okay. I'll send this stuff to you, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, please send it to us, because when you screen share, we're all using our cell phones because Morgan Stanley, Zoom doesn't work well. There's too much feedback. And so we can't see what you're screen share. Or at least I can.
Alrighty. Okay.
I mean, it's all on my cell phone. So.
Okay. Good point. Okay.
So if you share that.
Absolutely. After, our call, I'll be getting all these materials to you. Good. Mijanu?
I mean, I think that we, like Nicole said, it's accountability, but also as we evolve, some of this will evolve and this will help us keep direction as we grow.
Yeah.
but there's a lot that we're not really addressing. And I think that we get caught up in one thing. And then maybe that's why Joe's been great because he decided he was using the COI. He's going to go out and really work on that and finding business. He got that from the conversations that we've had during these meetings, but this workbook that you're showing us will help us to continue to kind of open our eyes to what we should be doing and how we could be doing some things better.
Right. So. And your potential. Yeah. And you know, I'm putting it out there. I want to see you all. I don't know what your goals are, but you know, I like to help people, you know, double their business. And, but that may not be your goal. And look, here's the thing. You can always come to me and say,
that's our
goal. Is that okay?
That's our
goal. Is that okay?
That's our
goal. Double our business over 3 years. That's our goal.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Totally possible.
Yes. Mission possible. Absolutely. Okay. That kind of concludes the things that I wanted to talk about today. And I wanted to just, you know, make sure that Rome wasn't built in a day. Okay. Not trying to overwhelm you, you know, but I wanted you to see the big picture of where this team is now, going from storming to norming to now performing, you know, as a team. And you all are really doing a terrific job. We're pushing the envelope now.
And we're enjoying it.
Oh, good. Good. It should be fun. Okay. It should be fun.
I am.
Okay. Any last minute questions before we close today?
No.
I think that was a good session. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, well, good session. Thank you, Curtis.
You're quite welcome, and we'll definitely revisit these things. So it's not one and done, and we'll continue to revisit.
Well, thank you for sending it to us, because we'll start working with it.
All righty. It's good to see you. Have a wonderful rest of the week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.